This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Jonathan Clark, a former senior British diplomat who is now a senior fellow at the Carnegie Council in New York. We want to get his thoughts as new reports suggest that British Prime Minister Gordon Brown had more than brief conversations with Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi about the possible release of the Lockerbie bomber earlier this year. So how will we ever get to the bottom of this? And if true, what would it mean for Gordon Brown and the Labour Party in England? And Jonathan, it's always great to have you with us.
Pleased to be with you, Craig.
Well, first of all, the British government was among those condemning this move last week. All the scorn seemed to be heaped upon the Scottish Justice Minister for allowing this to happen. What happened in the past few days that has started to shine the light that the folks in London might have had a little bit of a hand in this as well?
Well, it has emerged that Prime Minister Gordon Brown had a brief conversation about this with the Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi at the G8 or G20 meeting in June. And that's been admitted by Downing Street. And there are also suggestions which have not yet been confirmed that there were more extensive negotiations with senior British personalities, and that in particular the release of El-Megrahi was associated in some way with commercial deals in which the British were interested in Libya. And that has proved to be highly controversial in London right now.
Jonathan, we'll get back to Brown in a second. What was the reaction, generally speaking, in Britain and throughout England and Scotland about this release? How popular or unpopular was it?
Well, I think it was a lot less controversial than it has been here in the United States. Some of the victims' families in the United Kingdom have not been convinced about El-Megrahi's guilt for a long time, and they have felt more sympathetic to the idea of reopening the investigation about his potential guilt. And also, I think the argument about compassion has had more resonance in the UK than it has here. So that aspect, I think, is a little less controversial. On the other hand, the sort of hero's welcome given to him on return to Tripoli, that has certainly turned people the wrong way.
So if, in fact, Gordon Brown had expressed to Gaddafi or to Kenny McCaskill or anyone else his support for this release, especially if there are commercial ties attached to this, how's this going to play for him?
Well, Gordon Brown is already right up to his neck in hot water. I think he's not going to survive next year's election, so this will be yet another mark against him. He really does seem not to be able to do anything right just now. I think if there is really a sort of crass commercial aspect to this, and I must say I will be surprised if absolutely conclusive evidence of that emerges, but if there is any suggestion that some deal has been done for greater access by a UK oil company to the Libyan market, then I think that once again that will call into question Gordon Brown's judgment and will be yet another reason why voters will have lost confidence in him.
Jonathan, of course, Great Britain suffered its own version of radical Islamic violence on the subway bombings, the 7/7 bombings. I believe it was 2005. Obviously, in this country, while we've now shifted away to more domestic debates like healthcare and the economy and so forth, obviously terrorism is still out there. We're focused on Afghanistan and so forth. On the national spectrum, how big of an issue is terrorism and fighting the global jihad in Great Britain?
Well, once again, I don't think it is the number one priority in the way that it is here in the United States. And in particular, over the Afghan debate in the UK, there is a rising number of people who are ready to question what the British commitment to Afghanistan is really achieving. However, I think the government, both in Downing Street and in the Foreign Office, remain very firmly committed to a substantial British presence in Afghanistan, not just for this year, but for many years to come. So that I think that in terms of the substance, whilst the debate is pretty lively in the UK, the British government remains pretty much shoulder to shoulder with the U.S. in terms of Afghanistan.
Jonathan, I want to close back to where we started, and you made an interesting point that it wasn't quite the same type of outrage in the U.K. for the release of Megrahi as it was here in the United States. You mentioned that some families believed he actually wasn't responsible for the bombing. Others were sympathetic to the compassionate argument. In the end, what do you think was the biggest reason for the justice minister to let him go?
That's a very interesting question, Greg. I think there were a lot of reasons. Partly there was the sort of Scottish-British competition. I think the Scottish definitely felt that they wanted to emphasize the compassion angle. And so that was certainly in play there. I think that overall the Scottish side wanted to somehow draw this episode to a close before Megrahi were to die in a Scottish prison. They wanted to avoid that. So I think that was certainly uppermost in the Scottish minds here.
This calls for radical speculation, but had they known about the hero's welcome he'd get back in Tripoli, would that have changed anything, do you think?
I think that has certainly been seen in Scotland. In fact, Mr. McCaskill has himself condemned that. I think Gordon Brown said that he anticipated that there would be no hero's welcome. That has certainly put added a significant element of controversy to this whole deal.
Well, Jonathan, it certainly is the latest and perhaps the last chapter in this terrible saga over Pan Am Flight 103. Thank you very much for your time and your insight today.
Not at all. Bye-bye, Greg.
Jonathan Clark, former senior British diplomat, senior fellow on the Carnegie Council in New York. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.